I've talked with a lot of people who watched the debate, and I think the consensus was that nobody hit a home run, that nobody ended their campaign. I think in the case of Senator Brady, who's from downstate, who's the least known in the Chicago area, it gave him an opportunity to get some exposure, and I think that probably was a plus for him. I think for Oberweis, it gave him a chance to get some exposure other than just known as the Dairyman. I think perhaps the person that maybe benefited the most or came out the best was Judy Bartopinka. Now, I've got to give a disclaimer here that I'm for Judy Bartopinka, but the fact she's the front runner, and it didn't change anything. It didn't change that, which you always got to be a little concerned. If you're the front runner, you have the least to gain by being part of a forum with all the people who are trying to overcome you. But she handled herself fine. So I would say that the most important thing was it did give a chance for many people who wouldn't otherwise see these candidates to see him and begin to think about the election. The biggest problem of a primary is getting people to know there's an election. Illinois' primaries are so early, and often very few people know there's a primary. And as a result, we don't have many people vote on primary day. And many of them, even who do vote, don't have that much of a feel for the candidates.
Is there any sign, though, that people are paying attention at this point, or is it still too early?
I think it's always too early. I mean, we just have too early a primary. I used to try to get it changed to make it much later in the year. Now, the one thing, we've had a milder winter, so maybe that allows the candidates to get out, people to get out. But I think if you ask most people, they know there's an election maybe this year because there's a lot of talk about the current governor and his problems, and there's been some speculation on who's going to run. I don't know if that many of the people know actually the primary is coming up here in less than 2 months and who all the candidates are. But what helped with the debate, and particularly the fact, and I think I'm very complimentary. In fact, I complimented the news director at Channel 2 in Chicago, the fact that they put on a debate like that in what I'd consider prime time, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. I don't know of any primary that's ever happened before. So that will help maybe the most important thing that came out of that debate was people now know there is an election. My experience has been, as we go back to the original presidential debate, the first debate gets the most attention. Now, in this case, maybe the closer we get to the primary and people begin to realize there is an election, they'll pay more attention. I think what will be interesting to see if we have a debate on the Democratic side.
You mentioned your support for Judy Bartopinka. Yeah. And you mentioned that she is the front runner in your mind. There are, however, candidates, one candidate at least, who has spent a good amount of money on advertising so far, Ron Gitwitz. And has managed to bring another candidate out of the gubernatorial campaign to run as his running mate. How much of a front runner is Judy Bartopinka, and what kind of dynamic is that going to bring to the race once we get closer to March?
Well, there's no doubt that how much money you spend can have an impact on the election. It doesn't guarantee victory. In the case of Ron Gitwitz, all the poll numbers show that while he's spent millions, it hasn't moved much. He started out kind of at the bottom, and I think maybe he's ahead of Brady. But other than that, I think Oberweis is still far ahead of him based off previous campaigns. So it will have an impact. Now, if a candidate is the front runner, and you have a real campaign and you don't spend any money on advertisement, you're going to have a tough time. But I would expect that the other three candidates will spend money. Now, how much money in the case of Brady? There's a question is how much money does he have? And that could be a hindrance to him. I think Oberweis and Topinka have enough money to be on television, enough to counteract probably more money being spent by Ron Gitwitz. And I don't think that anybody's going to have an advantage money-wise that's going to make the difference in this election.
Is this the beginning of another rancorous Republican campaign for governor? That's been an issue the past couple of times where you've had a knockdown, drag-out primary, and there's a difficulty in getting the money to run the general election and getting the unity.
that's a real concern of mine. That I think there's any doubt that the last primary 4 years ago, while Jim Ryan won that primary pretty handily, the fact that Patrick O'Malley, who was one of the challengers, continued not only during the primary but after the primary to attack Jim Ryan. And as a result, Jim Ryan, I think, got way behind on fundraising. While on the Democratic side, where you had a much closer primary in which Rod Blagojevich barely got the nomination, his opponents, while I'm not sure that they meant what they said publicly, because a lot of them told me privately they didn't, but publicly they all said they supported him and the primary was over, and then he could go out and concentrate on raising money. And in many ways, that was a huge factor in the outcome of the election. So if the Republicans have as a divisive primary and it lingers after the primary has occurred 4 years ago, it'll make it extremely difficult to defeat Rod Blagojevich in the fall. Now, the feedback that I got in reading the coverage and listening to people who were there, that this was not a rancorous debate. I mean, they disagreed, but for the most part, they attacked Rod Blagojevich, which is, I guess, as a Republican, is what we hope will happen in his primary. Now, we'll see as you get closer to the primary, and also the fear that there'll be negative commercials that could have some lingering impact into the general election.
How long can they wait to try to distinguish themselves from the other GOP candidates?
Well, I think they need to distinguish themselves now, and I think the debate did give them that opportunity. One of the advantages about a debate that gets televised, a lot of people get to see it, and they see the person in person. I mean, it's not like reading a newspaper story or even listening on radio. You get to see the person, and you can kind of put that image in your mind, and I think then when you hear something about them later on, you can connect it with an image in your mind. So I think the other night it gave them that opportunity. There's no doubt that probably the last debate they won't be as cordial as they were the first debate. Just hopefully they can still be civil, and they can be civil in their disagreements.
How do you assess the strength of the state party right now in advance of an election where a lot of people say the incumbent is vulnerable?
I think the key is going to be who wins in November. Many people have talked about the demise of the Republican Party. I mean, there's no doubt. 2 years ago, we had a fiasco on the Senate campaign. I mean, the Alan Keyes thing was a terrible miscalculation on the part of State Central Committee when they picked him. And that on top of losing the governorship 2 years before, I think created the image that the Republican Party was probably almost ready to be out of existence. If the Republicans can win the gubernatorial race this November, and I think we have a real good chance of doing that, then I think the talk will be about what's happened to the Democratic Party. So this election is crucial to the future of both parties, but particularly the Republicans. But I think we have a great chance here of winning the governor's race, and then the Republican Party would be back. And all of the talk of the end of the Republican Party, I think, will be behind us.
Do you watch the progress of the congressional races, and is that going to play a role at all in shaping any statewide races on either side this year?
Congressional races, while you might have one that's interesting, has very little impact on the ticket above it. I mean, what's going to move Illinois politics this year is one race.
And not the discussion of Congress as a whole and who may control the House or the Senate.
No. I don't think most people, you know, in Illinois, we don't get as tied up, worried about congressional races as other states. We've got a lot of congressmen. They go off to Washington. This state, while what happens in Washington is very important to us, we're not as dependent on federal dollars as a state, let's say, that's 80% controlled by the federal government and the Bureau of Land Management or something like that. Or we've got dozens of military bases, because there aren't many states that have dozens of military bases anymore. What's going to move this election is one issue, and that's the gubernatorial race. That will have a huge impact on the General Assembly races. That'll have an impact on the other statewide races.
Might it have an effect on congressional races, or will be some tight ones possible in the suburbs?
No, it could, because that will be, I think, what the media is going to really dwell on. That's where most of the money is going to be spent. And so that can have an impact up and down the ticket. I don't see something down the ticket having an impact above it. And you know, unfortunately, in Illinois, we don't have many, or fortunately, it's according to your perspective, we don't have many contested congressional races. You know, you might have one or two, I think maybe one in the suburbs. The Phil Crane seat, which is a tradition, very Republican district and went Democrat last time, that I think will be a contested congressional race. But I don't think that's going to have an impact on the gubernatorial race. I think there's more apt there'll be a fallout from the gubernatorial race that could impact that congressional race.
As we head toward mid-campaign, do you ever have second thoughts about not running?
No. I there are days, I'd kind of say, well, I think I'd like to go talk about this if I was them. But no. I think I'll probably maybe miss it a little more when you get into governing. The campaigning part, particularly the primary, and I've been through primaries. I lost the first time I ever ran in a primary. Primaries are a very difficult process because they're in the time of the year when it's not very nice to be out often. Most people don't know or don't care. You're trying to, get to a very small number of people that are going to vote in the primary, and that's difficult and frustrating sometimes. So I do not ever miss not being in a primary.
Could turnout affect one candidate or another candidate in March?
Turnout's probably the most important factor in a primary.
But is it a plus or a minus to any or all of the four Republican
candidates?
Well,
it is, but we don't know until we know who turns out. If it's a very small turnout, very, very small turnout, that's probably the party regulars. If it's a little larger turnout, it might be the party regulars, and it might be a certain interest group like the religious right, which is much more effective in turning out in Republican politics than the general Republican voters are. If it's a huge turnout, then I would say you're probably getting a lot more of just the middle-of-the-road Republicans. You're going to probably get more suburbanites than you usually do. So I always say that turnout is the key. But until we know where the turnout occurred, I can't really tell you how it's going to impact the election. But that is a huge factor, and that's one of the things these candidates have got to keep in mind. It's not only to get your message out, but you've got to have an organization in place that gets your voters to the poll on election day. And often in our primary, the Republican primary, the far right is much more effective in getting their voters. I don't think they make up anything close to the majority of the Republican Party. But they are much more effective of getting their numbers to the polls than the general Republican voters.
Is there still a concern about the amount of money that you'd have to raise to go in a general election against Rob Blagojevich, who has a very large war chest?
Well, I think it's a concern. I don't worry about the candidates now. I think what they've got to worry about is having enough money to get through the primary. Whoever wins the primary, and particularly if that person looks like they have a good chance of defeating Rod Blagojevich, they'll be able to raise the money in the fall. Now, right now, there's only one candidate that shows that she's, and most of the polls, all the polls show she's ahead of Rod Blagojevich, and that's Judy Bart Topinka. The other polls, at this point, they don't show the other candidates making a dent. Now, a lot of that has to do with nobody knows them at this point. And if they would win the primary, it's possible they might look more competitive. But if we nominate a candidate who shows that they are competitive against Rod Blagojevich, I'm convinced the money will be there. And even though he might have more money, this race is going to get so much attention in the fall because this is the only ballgame. We don't have a U.S. Senate race. We don't have a presidential race. This is the ballgame. And I think there'll be a lot of free media on this race. And so I don't think you're going to need necessarily to match the incumbent governor dollar for dollar to run a successful campaign.
The budget session is underway in the General Assembly.
Another reason I'm glad I made the decision.
The governor has put out a capital projects plan that and so far we've yet to hear about the means to fund it, although we've gotten some ideas and one idea going by the way.
We know it's not going to be Keno.
It's not going to be Keno. What, looking at that as from the post of a former governor, how do you try to win over a legislature that has its hands on the pocketbook and may have politics in mind too?
Well, first of all, I think for any governor to be successful in getting the legislature to do difficult things is you've got to have public support, and that has a lot to do with credibility. And the most important thing for a governor is to have credibility. And rightly or wrongly, I think Governor Blagojevich has a credibility problem, particularly with the General Assembly, and to some extent, I think, with the voters. So there's a lot of mistrust, not just among Republicans, but I think Democrats as well, off of some things they thought had been promised that didn't happen. And so anything he proposes, I think they take with a little bit of a grain of salt. I mean, like the Capitol really shouldn't be that controversial, but I think there's a lot of concern that commitments may not be kept because they haven't been kept in the past. So, and the thing about the Capitol bill versus the regular budget takes an extraordinary majority, which means you've got to have Republican votes. Now, just the budget, the Democrats will ram a budget through like they did last year because it's an election year and they don't want to stay around. They've already got the pension, the rate on the pension plans already in this budget. So.
And that's a suggestion that there is some solidarity among the Democrats. Is that solidarity going to carry over through some of those other projects that the governor's considering?
Well, I think that solidarity is a fear. They don't want to get beaten in the election. And, you know, I don't think they want to stay in Springfield. When you're in charge and things don't work, you get blamed. And even the Democrats in the legislature know if the governor looks bad, that could affect them. I mean, the last time we had a Republican House in Illinois is when the governor won by a landslide. That was me in 1994. And I won by enough that it carried over and it elected a lot of Republicans to the House. So while the speaker may not always agree with the governor, in this case, Mike Madigan doesn't always agree with Rod Blagojevich, as we saw last session, he doesn't want things to go too bad for the governor because that could impact their races as well. So I think there's solidarity among the Democrats to try to get something passed and get out of town. I don't think there's a lot of trust necessarily, but I think there is a common mission is let's leave town and so we don't stay here and get in political trouble.
We're a month and a half out, or maybe almost 2 months out, but what are your plans for primary day and primary night?
Oh, every year I do commentary in Chicago. I'll vote in the primary, then probably go to Chicago and try to sound like I know what I'm talking about and, be vague enough so if the election results come in different, it sounds like I knew what I was talking about. But I love election night. I have to say, you asked me what I miss. I do miss a lot of the campaign part of it. But there is no more exciting night to me than election night, whether you're the candidate or not. Now, I have to say, if you're the candidate, there's probably a lot more anxiety on election night than any until the first votes come in. But I like to, you know, everything up to then is pure speculation. Even the polls, you can't be sure because you don't know who's going to really vote. But when you see the votes come in, then you know what really happened and you can start figuring out why did it happen and all. So election night's a fascinating. Now, that's what got me hooked back when I was in fifth grade. The election in 1958. I stayed up all night watching election returns, and I think I've been watching election returns ever since.